death your brother. But I come in the line like those ancient words. I'm in the most powerful government that ever was in the last 6,000 years. I want you to listen well now. I have greater enemies against me and this movement than Moses had against him, than Jesus had against him, than Prophet Muhammad had against him. My enemies are greater than all their enemies combined. To speak, if I survive, then the power that backs me is greater than the powers that are against me. God is in person today. Remember what I said at the beginning? I talked about a problem no man could solve. And I talked about a power that nobody could deal with. Where's the problem that no scientist can solve? Here we are, 30 to 40 million black people who have been turned upside down and inside out. 30 to 40 million black people who don't know who they are, don't know where they are, don't know what time it is, don't know who their God is, don't know what their religion is, but are trusting in the God of their slave master. A pale-faced, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, hook-nosed cracker that the white man gave you as Jesus. The pictures they gave you. You are nothing more than devil worshipers. That's why you don't have any power in your religion against your enemy, because you are worshiping in the religion that your enemy gave you. Your enemy gave you Christianity. Your enemy gave you this religion, a slave-making religion. Have no power in it to free you. Your enemy set up the church. Set it up. Paul didn't set it up. The white man set it up. Didn't he? He set up the black church because he didn't want you in the white church. He gave you the black preacher. He taught him theology and told him what to preach. That's why you have never been able to be freed by no preacher, because the preacher has always been the tool of the white man against you. Reverend, Reverend. My dear Reverend, my dear Reverend, if you continue to preach that damnable philosophy. Your congregation one day will rise up and kill you in the pulpit. Because your people are rising today. And you can't preach no ethereal nothing they're going to get in the sky. While they help to build a kingdom for the white man on earth. If you don't represent the kingdom of God on earth, you better find yourself some good preaching to give your people. Because they're waking up fast nowadays. I'm not saying that many black preachers are not sincere. But being sincere wrong is to be dead right.
Time is 8:06. It's March 20th, 2012. We're sorry for the delay this morning. Running behind, but we had good words from our minister. We've got new music, new tapes coming in the next couple of days. We were trying to work on those this morning to get them on the air, but we didn't. In the name of Allah, the Merciful, we thank Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. We thank him for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. We also thank him for the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for allowing us to come to you this morning on Blog Talk Radio. We also like to thank our local representative here in Wilmington, North Carolina, Student Minister Tyrone Muhammad, for a chance to talk to you this morning about the conditions of Wilmington, about America, and what's going on. This is Blog Talk Radio. The number is 1-858-947-6607. Press 1 if you'd like to talk to the host. Chat room is now open at blogtalkradio.com. You can Google the word no covers, and you should be able to get in the chat room. The chat room is now open for questions and answers. I'd like to start this morning's subject off with something of this tragic case of Trayvon Martin. For those that are not familiar with this case, the young man was in by his father's house in Florida and went to the store. And on his way back from the store, not a security guard, but a security watchman for the neighborhood. They're now calling him a self-appointed security watchman, was following him. Young man had on a hoodie, black male. And if you go and listen to the 911 calls that have been released as of Friday or Saturday, you would get more on this case. But the young man evidently was followed, and he was thought to be suspicious because of the neighborhood he was in, gated community. However, his father has a house and does live there. On one call, you hear the young man hollering for help, and then you hear gunfire. The self-appointed security guard, neighborhood watchman is what they're calling, was questioned. He said it was in self-defense. In Florida, they have a law that says you can carry a gun, and you can use that gun if you feel threatened by self-defense. Now, I want to read to you a letter, and I want you to go and study this case. But I want to read to you a letter because I was going to talk about this case this morning, but after reading this letter last night, I felt it necessary to read this letter by Candace Benbow. And she wrote it. She's a contributing writer. I've contacted her on Facebook. I hope she calls in this morning because I asked her to call in. Because after reading her letter, I felt it was necessary to read this letter to the audience and so we could get a clear picture of what happened and we could also feel her pain and feel our pain and try to come up with a reasonable solution because there's several solutions. One of the major ones is tuning in to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and getting active because, as she states in her letter, these events will continue if we don't get active. But I want to read her letter, and then maybe we'll get some discussion on that this morning and we'll continue. The letter is called Do Something to Save Our Children, A War Cry for Trayvon Martin. The recent death of Trayvon Martin has reminded me that the time in which young black boys can enjoy their childhood years, oblivious of fear and hatred, Their presence invokes in hearts of many a quickening, dissipating response. The murder, 17-year-old man-child, has now become the most recent face of what is being referred to as an open season on young black men. A hoodie, a bag of Skittles, a can of iced tea, wandering gaze at houses was apparently sufficient to gain his death warrant. And if that's not enough, his killer remains free. A young boy with a smile was taken away so senselessly and tragically, and many believe it doesn't matter. I admit I'm tired. I'm tired of marching. I'm tired of protesting. I'm tired of quitting conscious rhetoric. I'm tired of hugging the person sitting beside me on the first service and saying, neighbor, oh neighbor, we'll understand it better by and by. I'm tired of praying for change. I'm tired of hearing calls to action after what we fear to be the worst becomes the least of our worries. I'm tired of looking at black kids get on school buses knowing they're being given an inferior education to match the spirit of inferiority the world wants them to have. I'm tired of hearing statistics on black life and realizing that they will never get better. I'm tired of feeling defeated. I'm tired of wanting to do something. I want to change the world, but I start with one neighborhood. I start first by being visible. Those who need us really need us, only seeing us in passing. They see us driving to and from church, visiting a grandmother, doing isolated episodes of community service for Greek organizational requirements. They don't see us dirty. They don't see us tiring on their behalf. They've got to see us. Not only do they have to see us, they have to see us in places that matter. We need to be their teachers, their principals, their doctors, their dentists, their mayors, city council person, and school board representatives, state legislators, police officials, news anchors, landlords, supervisors at loan offices. It is time we mobilize and start occupying local positions of power in order to change the trajectory of our communities. The ugly truth about inequality and racism in America is that, sadly, there will be more Trayvon Martins that are left face down in lawn, tagged as John Doe without a second thought. They fill our after-school detention classrooms after being identified as disruptive to educational process. They become permanent fixtures in county jails and state prisons. They sit at home hopelessly awaiting at least one callback from a dozen job applications they submit. They look at their sons disheartened at the fact that the cycle will ultimately continue. And if they so happen to make it, if they become educated, successful, self-sustaining black men, they still look at their sons desperately pray that the lot, which will eventually fall, will land at some other child's feet and not theirs. But this truth should not overshadow our truth. We are our greatest resource. Inside our communities, inside us, is everything we need to succeed in spite of. We do not remember that. We will remain defeated. Trayvon Martin's screams and pleas for his life should become our war cry. In action. His last breath should infuse us with fresh wind to do whatever it takes to ensure that the Trayvons of our community can grow up and live out their dreams. We can no longer afford to do nothing. The earth is groaning. It is absorbing the spilled blood of genius loss. We must act now. For the sake of who we want to be, we must do something for our babies who lay lifeless in our streets every day, no longer able to decide how they will celebrate their greatest dreams coming true. We must do something. May the reality that Trayvon Martin is every nameless, faceless, beautiful, brilliant, gifted, humorous, insightful, engaging, spiritual, imagining, and promising black and brown child prevail us to do something and fear God even more if we don't. A letter was written by Candace Benbow as she expressed her pain and her strength of Trayvon Martin's death. It is a tragic death. I'd like everyone in the audience to go research it. I'm pretty sure it probably will be on this week's cover of the paper of the Final Call. I haven't seen the cover yet. It may come out today. And I'm pretty sure there will be an article inside. It, again, shows the lack of respect for human life. When you listen to the letter, it's pain and it's hope involved of calling us to action. And the call to action, I think, comes from the 911 calls. If you go to today's website for No Covers, you can be transferred. You can Google or you can go to the 911 calls. There are 9 calls that were made to the 911 center. Most of the calls made were made by whites. Well, all of the calls made were made by whites. I'm going to just tell by the voice. People that were in their homes. The first call made is from the actual security officer who is calling the 911 center. And he calls the 911 center and tells them that there's a young man that is in his neighborhood looking suspicious. And he has something in his pocket. Well, we now know, based on the letter and based on the information, that what he had in his pocket was a can of iced tea, a bag of Skittles that he had brought from the store, walking back home to his father's house. And from some of the story, I sensed that he may have been visiting his father because he keeps saying his father's house. So he probably was looking at the neighborhoods, and this was dark. It was night. And he was looking at some of the houses probably and, you know, out in the neighborhood, just wandering, searching, looking, but not looking for any trouble. The night watchman called 911 and was told on the 911 call, they said, are you following him? He replied, no, I am. He said, I am following him. They replied to him, do not follow him. An officer is en route. Do not follow him. In other words, you made your call. You're the night watchman. You're not a security guard. You're the neighborhood watchman. You made your call. Don't pursue him. The officer is on his way. Let us take matters in his hand. And the call continues, and the man is talking to the 911 officer, and they ask him for his address. And he even says, I don't want to give my address. Can I just meet him in the street when the police officer comes to show him where the young man is going? Something in him takes matters in his own hand and continues to follow Trevon anyway until the point you hear the next 911 calls. And there are calls in the backyard of neighbors that hear screams in the backyard of help, help. Next neighbor calls, you can see the 911 call. The neighbors can see there's somebody in my backyard. I don't know what's going on. Someone's screaming help. And then you hear the gunfire, pow. And, of course, the police arrive and Trevon is dead. And his father is now a national spokesman for this death of another young man. It has become national attention. The thing about this is that this is not an isolated case. If we go and look at black males being, and male and female, black males showing up being murdered and black women showing up being missing, it is an attack on our youth. There are young black women, and this is a case we've heard very little about. There are young black women, teenage women, that show up missing every day. We go to some of these missing hotlines, these missing sites. Young black women are showing up missing every day in our neighborhood. And it's not, it's reported here and there. If someone picks it up as a sensational story or story that can add them press, they pick it up. But in the mainstream media, these cases usually go up under the wire. This case has taken national attention because at first it was a white male that made the phone call. Now they find out he's Hispanic. But the same stereotype, it fits because he had a hoodie. The attack on our youth is what I'm leading to on this particular subject, is that it's at an epidemic rate. In New Hanover County yesterday, there was a young black male that had a heart attack. And died of a heart attack yesterday. There are more young black men dying of heart attacks than ever before. It has something to do with the stress. I also believe it has something to do with their intake of what they put in their bodies that leads to these young black men having a heart attack. We have a caller. Let's take this call at 8551. Caller 8551, you on the air?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
How you doing, ma'am? Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. I wanted to add to what you were saying about this being an attack on our youth, and I also wanted to bring out a couple of things that I read overnight about this case. Firstly, that this young man was tagged as a John Doe, and they did not mention that he had a cell phone on him. The cell phone was not used to try to contact the young man's family. However, overnight, there are reports this morning that this young man was on the telephone with a friend of his, and she was talking about how he was trying to run away from this man. And the investigation that has been done up to this point by the Sanford, Florida Police Department is just riddled with a lot of inconsistencies and things that, you know, show that they were making a lot of mistakes, they can say it that way, or just not caring. First of all, in this area since 2006, they had about four or five other cases of young men being killed and these investigations not being handled well. In 2006, they had two security guards, and they killed a black teen with a gunshot wound to the back. They did not ID themselves. They said they did not ID themselves, but they were released without charges. In 2010, the son of a Sanford Police Department lieutenant, Justin Collins, he, according to reports, sucker punched a black man. He was released with no charges, but surveillance video made them have to recant that, and they ended up firing the police chief of the, at that time. And there was another incident in the same area, the death of 14-year-old Martin Lee Anderson. The many of us probably heard of this, of the boot camp style detention center.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial autopsy report said he had died of complication of sickle cell, but it came to pass that he had been abused and was forced to inhale ammonia. Not only that, one of the police department sergeant that was the first person on the scene in with Trayvon was also the first supervisor of one of the previous cases that was not handled well. So my question is, why was this just coming out? And we can see that this happened February 26th.
Yes,
and it
ma'am.
Took this long to get national attention.
Yes, ma'am.
It's just so much to it, and it's really, like you said, it shows the deplorable condition that we have that helps to take care of us. And if we don't stand up and take care of ourselves, we can see that no one will take care of us. So we have to do this ourselves, and I thank you for having this call so that it can be another avenue that we can talk about, discuss these things, and really just make the point that there's nothing that we can count on anyone else to do to take care of ourselves but for us to take care of ourselves. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling. I'm glad you shared that information with us, because I think we're going to continue this conversation as the next couple of days go on to get more information, and definitely thank you for sharing that additional information that came out on this case. I mean, it really, you brought an excellent point that we were, the excellent point of when it happened. Here we are almost a week, in February. We almost a month going on there. And here we are now making national attention on it. And it's like, the police department, if I just want those that are in the chat room there now asking, go please just Google. It's nothing. We're not making it. You can't make this stuff up. You know, this is nothing we can make up. This is really happening. And the fact that it wasn't reported on a national level until now we find out, okay, it's enough sensational here. So it's enough to draw people's attention that it's going to sell commercials. Now we're going to report it. Now the media can get involved in it. But if we're not in Florida, we're not connected to it. It's so far up under the radar that our outlets are not there anymore and our mobilization is not there anymore. So these cases are happening so fast and so furious. If we're not tuned in to the final call, if we're not tuned in to Reverend Sharpton's radio station, we're not picking up what's going on, and they're happening so quickly. Every week there's something. I mean, we had the case in New York of a young man, and his attack is clear. I mean, Minister Farrakhan said years ago when he talked about the attack, that the attack would come on our youth. And we take that scripturally, if we think about it scripturally, that the attack has always been on the young. Whenever that time came for one to rise up, the attack came on the young. Whenever it came time for them to go into a promised land, the attack came on the youth. And if we keep losing our youth, there is no future for us at all. I mean, at all. Carl, are you still in the air? Carl, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
The information that you got, can you share with us some other sites that our callers maybe can go to? Is it just all coming up this morning on Google? Because I got some folks, I see some folks in the room. I want to make sure they're able to go get this information. Because sometimes people think this can't make this stuff up.
Yes, sir. I don't have the particular sites, but they can, when you Google it,
yes,
they have the stories. All of this information were different stories. That were done by reporters in other areas. But if they Google it, it's going to just all populate right there. I mean, it's this last one about the telephone.
Yeah, now the one with the telephone call, when I saw that, the one with the telephone call, was that the young man he was talking to? Because I know there was someone in the report, the young man said he had, I guess that meant he was witnessing it. He actually heard what was going on.
Well, no. No, I'm trying to pull it back up. This one, there was actually a 17-year-old girl that he was on the phone with, and he had said, well, you know, basically that he had, you know, he was being followed, and the girl was telling him where to run, and he said, well, no, I'm not going to run. I'm just going to walk fast. And he put, when the guy, according to this report, when Zimmerman came, you know, to his, you know, was it in his area, he put his hoodie on and said that, you know, told a girl, and she said, run. And he said, I'm not going to run, I'm going to walk. So, and this was information, it's not that it's new information to the police, because, let's see what it says here, but it's new information to us.
But they haven't even brought him in for questioning yet.
Well, and I was, and you know, it's so funny you say that, because they're trying to spin this, in my opinion, because
right.
Florida has this stand your ground law,
right?
Where, yeah, so they're trying to use this as some kind of validation that they have a good reason, a good moral reason for not bringing this in. According to one article, and I did not assign them all to, before I, you know, I didn't feel like I was doing a paper, but people can Google this themselves.
Okay.
According to one article, I forgot what I was saying. That's funny. Oh, about the, according to one article, the young man was, Zimmerman, the family, Trayvon's family was told that Zimmerman was not arrested because he was a criminal justice student and he had a squeaky clean record, which was not even true because he had an altercation with a police officer. And, I mean, this man is clearly off. This man, he called 46 times 911 from January to February 26th.
Right. Did you hear his voice on the 911 tapes?
Yes, sir.
His voice, you can tell something wrong with this guy.
Right.
I mean, you can tell by his voice
saying,
he's looking for trouble.
On the phone. Yes, and instead of them saying stay on the phone, maybe there's something wrong with this man. Surely you got to have some kind of tag at 911 that this person is calling you 46 times. That should have been a flag for number one.
Right.
And then you hear this man saying that he's going to follow you. Why hang up from the man? Make
right.
him stay on the phone with you, because he is obviously the getting ready to be the aggressor.
Right.
But instead, because he says, and the language the man is using, he says, well, he got on a hoodie. Yes, he has something in his waistband. Oh, he's coming towards me. Oh, I'm going to, what do you say? He's coming towards me. And then, then he hangs up.
Right, he's coming towards me, then you go follow him.
Right.
He's obviously not coming towards you because you're outside. You're not in the neighbor's backyard yet. So you had to follow him to the neighbor's backyard.
Yeah, he followed him, and it's very clear that he followed him. And the other sad part, another sad part of this is the neighbors. They're so terrified that they, don't go outside to help this man.
Yes.
That is sad. And I did hear one of the calls, one lady was very upset about it, and she was saying, what about if he needs help and nobody's helping him? And the 911 was telling her, well, you have to be safe, and it really just brings to my mind what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan has always taught us about a day that will come where people will be afraid to go out of their home. And, I mean, a man is outside hollering.
Yes, ma'am.
Saying, help me, help me. And everybody's afraid to go outside.
Oh.
And, I mean, I was thinking about it last night, and I was saying, I just can't imagine if I heard someone. And I know people set people up all the time, but God knows you got to have some kind of discerning spirit, and you got to have some faith in God. And I'm not trashing on the people, because the minister said not too long ago, he said it on tweet, I read it last night, don't say what you'll do because you don't know.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But I pray that, we will have enough spirit of faith and enough spirit of discernment to know when someone is truly in need of help, and that we will go out and help them.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to continue this week. We'll get in more information tonight. We will share it tomorrow morning. Thanks for the caller. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for you all for those in the chat room. Again, we're closing out this morning. This is No Covers Blog Talk Radio.